This is your life, episode 99. Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be asking the question, are you investing your best resources in the wrong people? This is a question every leader must answer, and it's an easy trap to fall into. I've done it numerous times, and when it happens to you, it can get very, very expensive. In this episode, I'll share how it happened to me and what you can do to keep it from happening to you. You can get the outline, the resource links, and a complete transcript of the show notes at michaelhyatt.com/99. I'll be back in a minute with some thoughts on this topic.
Thinking of starting your own blog, but worried that your technical know-how is not up to scratch?
The good news is that starting blogging has never been easier.
Michael shares his knowledge with you for free and will show you that 20 minutes is all it takes to have your own blog up and running.
This is John D. Harrison from johndharrison.com. I started out with a free WordPress site, and if I would have applied your advice, started out with a self-hosted site, I really could have saved myself a lot of headaches. Self-hosted definitely is the way to go, and your screencast is the easiest way I know to make that happen.
Join Michael and follow his quick and easy step-by-step video tutorial at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
Take action now and start blogging today.
michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
As a leader, are you investing your best resources in the wrong people? You know, it's easy to see other people making this mistake, but it's more difficult to catch yourself doing it. I've been guilty of it plenty of times. For example, a few years ago, while I was still the CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers, I met with a really important author, one of our top authors, and during our meeting, I learned he was unhappy with the cover design, the jacket design we had done for his previous book. And being the people pleaser that I am, I thought I could fix his problem. So I said to him, I'll take personal responsibility for this next cover. And then I said, I'll work with you directly to make sure we get a cover you love. Well, then I went and I hired a designer I knew had delivered stellar results for another one of our authors. And in a few weeks, the designer delivered 6 unbelievable cover comps. I mean, he really knocked it out of the park. Well, I made a few suggestions and the designer revised his work and then I submitted them to the author. And I was very hopeful that he would love them and that, you know, I could be the hero, I'd save the day, et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess what? He didn't like any of them. I spent an hour on the phone with him as he berated the designer. Now, fortunately, the designer was not on the phone, but he berated the designer to me. Well, undaunted, I rolled up my sleeves and spent the afternoon personally searching through his stock photo library, trying to find just the right image. Not exactly the best use of my time as a CEO. But finally, I found a photo I loved. This is it, I thought, perfect. I went back to the designer. I had him create several more comps around that photo that I had found. And then I submitted that new batch to the author, confident he would love one of these options. And then I followed up with a phone call. Well, guess what? You're right. He hated them all. Again, he criticized the designer, which frankly, I didn't appreciate. But then he came after me and he said, you know, if you would just spend the money and hire a decent designer, we could get on to more important things. I mean, he was lecturing me like this was the first time I'd ever done this. And of course, you know, I've done this for a living for 35 years. Well, honestly, I was insulted, but silly me, I hired another designer and went through one more round with him. We ended up, get this, we produced 21 cover comps in all, and he didn't like a single 1. Finally, after several weeks of this, we acquiesced and used a cover that was designed by his team, and I wished I could show it to you, especially compared to the others. It was totally, I'm not exaggerating, completely forgettable. I mean, it looked like a very dated design that just had no juice in it. No one on our team liked it, but by this time we were worn out and we gave up, and I just, you know, raised the white flag of surrender. But I woke up to the fact that I invested all this time, all this money, all my emotional energy, and I had not moved the needle one bit. It was a total waste. He was, to put it in a word, incorrigible. I didn't change him at all. Well, the resources I wasted on him would have better been spent elsewhere, and that's really the big lesson here. We finished out our publishing contract with him, but we passed on offering him another one. We'd frankly had enough, and we let him go to another competitor. It just wasn't worth the effort. Well, leaders often make this same mistake in various areas of their life. For example, take a mother who invests all of her emotional energy in a very difficult child to the neglect of the quiet, compliant child, and the difficult child gets worse, and the compliant one begins acting out to get attention. Or consider the corporate executive who spends most of her time helping an underperforming salesperson rather than provide leadership and inspiration to her top producers. And then she wonders why she can't keep her best people. Or a pastor who spends so much of his time trying to fix broken people that he doesn't have the energy to develop the leaders who could help shoulder the burden. And yet he constantly grumbles about his workload. Well, what can you do if you're in this situation? Well, it's actually very simple, and this is the premise of this lesson on this episode, and that is make sure you're investing your best resources, including your time and energy, in your best people. Here's how. First, acknowledge that your resources are limited. I mean, we keep coming back to this, don't we? Your time, your money, your energy are finite resources. And it's easy to forget this and get overcommitted. But the truth is, it's a zero-sum game. Every time you say yes to one person, you're saying no to others. It's a trade-off. It's what Greg McKeown in his book Essentialism talks about when he says that when you say yes to something, you've got to say no to something else because your time doesn't scale. You just can't keep adding these tasks without something suffering. So acknowledge that your resources are limited. Number two, become aware where your resources are going. You know, it's easy to think the situation is temporary, and I've been guilty of that so many times. You think it's temporary or you think it's an exception, but is it? This is the little lie that keeps us stuck if we're not careful. Now look back over your calendar and make an honest assessment of where your time is gone. It will reveal the truth. Third, end unproductive or unhealthy relationships. And let's be honest, this is the really hard part. And we don't always have a choice over this. But if you can't end them, then at least establish some boundaries. And if you need a little inspiration or some moral support or some practical strategies, I would encourage you to read Dr. Henry Cloud's excellent book, Necessary Endings, and get the subtitle, The Employees, Businesses, and Relationships That All of Us Have to Give Up in order to move forward. And I think so often this is difficult for us to end these relationships that are unproductive. You know, we think that we've got to maintain them. Well, we don't. I mean, we can fire people or clients or customers, employees, sometimes even friends. I mean, it sounds harsh, but relationships that are no longer productive, they're stealing our best time and our best energy, and we're not giving attention to the other things that we're called or are important to us. So I think sometimes we just have to end those or at the very least put boundaries around them so they don't suck the life out of us. Then fourth, identify the people you should be investing in. And this is the most important step. You've got to change your focus. Who are the people in your life, the individuals you've overlooked? Maybe they're children. Maybe they're employees. Maybe they're friends. But who are the individuals that you've overlooked? Who are the people who should be getting the bulk or at least more of your resources? Who are the ones who represent the future. And this is really important in an organization if you're trying to build it. You can spend so much time, you know, quote, healing the sick or trying to raise the dead that you neglect that very important process of passing on to the next generation what they're going to need to be able to run your organization or to lead or to help shoulder the burden. So anyway, just identify the people you should be investing in. Fifth, schedule time on your calendar to serve these people. You know, good intentions are important, but they're not enough. And for some reason, the urgent seems to always take precedent over the important. And you can't let that happen to you. And it's like the old adage says, what gets scheduled gets done. And that's why I really believe that you've got to get this stuff on your calendar. And the opposite's also true. What doesn't get scheduled doesn't get done. So you've got to get it on your calendar if you're going to hope to make it happen. Now, if you happen to struggle with this in Christian ministry, let me just say this. Jesus spent time with broken people. Yes, he healed the sick. He comforted the brokenhearted. He ministered to the outcasts. But he spent the bulk of his resources on just 12 people. He proactively invested in them, knowing that his mission was, humanly speaking, dependent on their success. Where are you investing your time and your resources? One question to think about. Where do you need to shift your focus and allocate your resources differently? Well, you can leave your answer at michaelhyatt.com/99, as in episode 99. I'd love to hear from you as you process this and think about it. I think this is an opportunity where we need the community. We need one another to support one another to make sure that our attention, our resources, our time are going to our best people. Well, let's turn now to our listener Q&A segment. Had several questions this week, variety, not necessarily on this topic, but the first one comes from Carol.
Hi, Michael. My name is Carol Anderson from Washington State. I have a blog, EvelynCarol.com, in process. My question is, since it takes a while to build a platform, is a person ever too old to start? I would appreciate your input. I so enjoy your podcast and your blog. Thank you.
Carol, I want to commend you for your courage for asking that question, because honestly, I think a lot of people that are in midlife or even older have this question. They think, gosh, you know, I'm too old to make this happen. In fact, yesterday was Father's Day. We celebrated it. And so I was with my dad, and my dad's very funny. He's got a great sense of humor. And he's 82 years old. He's in pretty decent health. But somebody asked him something about his plans for the future. And he said, well, let me just put it this way. I'm not buying any green bananas, you know, meaning that, he might not have time for them to ripen. But I don't think that's true when it comes to building a platform for doing work that you love. You know, I personally don't believe in the concept of retirement. And I think that's a dying concept. People are living longer than ever. They're living more productive lives than ever. And if you just listen to the mass media, you know, you think that everybody over the age of 70 has Alzheimer's and is in failing health and all that. And certainly there are some. But we have a quality of life today that's better than ever before in the history of the world. And I would just say that, no, you're never too old. You are definitely not too old. Being old, age is a state of mind. It's not about biology or about chronology. You know, if you think you're too old or you think you aren't old enough, whatever you think, you're right. It's a state of mind. You know, my parents, both of them, my dad and my mom more so than my dad, are both involved in social media. Both of them are on Facebook and use it as a way to keep up with the family and their friends back in Texas. And so they're not too old. You know, they're not building a platform in quite the way you're talking about, Carol, but I definitely don't think you're too old. In fact, I would encourage you to ask yourself the question, what does your age, and I have no idea what your age is, but what does your age make possible in building a platform that wouldn't have been possible 10 years ago? You know, I think you actually have some strategic competencies or advantages that aren't available sometimes to younger people. So embrace your age, let it work for you. The next question comes from Derek.
Hello, Michael. My name is Derek Ouellette from Windsor, Ontario, right across the border from Detroit. I blog at derekouellette.ca, where I help church leaders leverage the power of social media for their ministry and personal lives. I'm about to launch my platform full-time, and my question is, how soon after I launch my platform do you recommend I launch my membership program? I have about 3,500 vanity subscribers and about 170 email subscribers with a 32% read rate. I love your Get Noticed theme. I think it's going to be a game changer for me. Thanks for all you do.
Derek, I'm not sure that I have enough information to answer this question definitively, but rather than let me talk about the membership site, because I don't really know what the critical mass is going to be for you, the thing I would do, though, is try monetizing my site in other ways if you're not already doing this. I mean, consider, for example, advertising. Obviously, affiliate links to Amazon, to other products that you love and that you think that your tribe would love. Create maybe even lower cost products or lower priced products. But I would start testing your tribe or start getting them used to the idea that you have products that can take them deeper and can help them in more significant ways, but they cost money. You know, so I think this was something that I did for a long time that I shouldn't have done. And that was I gave product away, essentially product away, but information away for free. I still give a lot of stuff away for free, my podcast, my blog posts, and all that. But that's all I did. And I conditioned my audience over the course of several years that everything was free. That's all fun and games until you decide that you got to make a living from this and that you just can't do it for free because your time's worth something and you have to start charging. So I think as soon as you possibly can, and by the way, for everybody else listening to this question, even before you intend to go pro or do it full time, start creating products that you can charge your audience for so they can get used to the idea that, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, that ultimately this stuff costs somebody, even if it's you, the producer, it costs somebody time and probably money to produce. But a membership site is going to be something that's going to require a lot of you. And it's going to require something of them because it's if it's like a typical membership site, there's a monthly membership fee. And so that's a little bit more expensive option for them to invest in. But it sounds like you've probably got enough critical mass. I'm just not sure whether your audience would be used to or would be warm to the idea of joining a membership site. And it all goes back to how much value do you add? If you have a value proposition that's powerful, that's really compelling, that meets a felt need on their part, or at least helps them accomplish an aspiration, then it might work. And by the way, if you haven't done this, do an audience survey so that you can find out exactly what their frustrations and challenges are, what their hopes and dreams and aspirations are, because you want to make sure that whatever you're creating in the way of product meets those specific needs, and then use the language that they use. You let these be open-ended questions when they respond to you, but use the language that they use in describing the problem to you or the dream to you. Use that language in your sales copy. So I hope that's helpful, Derek. The next question comes from Kinsey.
Hi, Michael. My name is Kinsey Roberts. I'm the sales and marketing manager for Aspen Heights at myaspenheights.com/Fort Collins. My question is about the platform conference coming up in Colorado Springs in November. I'm wondering if you think it's appropriate for employees who are sales specialists and marketing and brand managers to attend this type of a conference, or if it truly is more for online business owners and online entrepreneurs. Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Well, Kinsey, the platform conference is absolutely appropriate for corporate marketing executives or for anybody in marketing because social media is the new marketing. You know, I can't overemphasize this enough. We started seeing this in 2006 when Twitter came online and I was in a corporate job. And I wish I had had the opportunity to send everybody in my marketing departments to a conference like this because it's an intense, concentrated experience where you get a lot of information over a few short days and you really hear from the best of the best. So if social media figures into your overall marketing strategy, if in fact content is the new marketing, and I believe it is, it's a way to add value to people and give to people so that they build trust and buy your stuff. If that's important to your organization, then absolutely. We have a lot of marketing executives, in fact, entire companies that send their marketing staff to the platform conference because they know they'll get the information they can use that will help them better market their products and services. Well, that's all the time we have for questions this week. If you'd like to ask me a question, go to michaelhyatt.com/question. You can either leave me a voicemail message or email me with your question. I'll get to them eventually, and I'd love to hear from you. So again, go to michaelhyatt.com/question to leave a message. And I'll be back after the break with an announcement and my tip of the week.
This is you competing against all other people in the same niche. I didn't hear it either. To get your message heard in an increasingly competitive and noisy world, you need a solid platform. You need a place to wow your audience, build your home base, engage your tribe, and expand your reach. The solution? The Platform Conference, November 9th through the 11th, 2014. Brought to you by Michael Hyatt and Ken Davis. The Platform Conference is the place to take your platform to the next level. Our small and intimate environment will enable you to work closely with some of the most prolific speakers in the world and network with individuals who are invested in personal growth and success. Register today at platformconference.tv.
And be heard in a noisy world.
Alrighty, well, I'm really excited about this. I'm just one episode away from episode 100. This is a massive milestone for me. If you had told me 2 years ago that I was going to do a podcast and that I would eventually do 100 episodes, I would say you're crazy. I'm not sure I can come up with 100 different things to talk about. But as it turns out, I have. And in part because I've got a large archive of content that I created as a blogger, over 1,500 blog posts. But among other things, to celebrate this milestone and to make it really special, I'm going to give away autographed copies of my book to anyone who leaves a question for me and I use it in the episode. And again, you can go to michaelhyatt.com/question to leave a question. And I would love to hear from you. Question on anything. Ask me anything. I'll attempt to answer it. And again, if I use your question on the show, I'll give you an autographed copy of my book, Platform, Get Noticed in a Noisy World. And I also want to tease you a little bit, as I did last week, what I have planned for the next 100 shows, because the format's going to change completely. Now, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you know that essentially it's a monologue. You know, it's me talking. And it's only me talking. Occasionally, I've done an interview, but very, very rarely. Well, I'm changing the format, and we're going to be going to a more kind of interview format. But get this, not with me interviewing other people, but I'm bringing on a co-host, and we're just going to have a conversation around these topics. I think it's going to be vastly more interesting because it gives another person the opportunity, the co-host, an opportunity to drill down on my answers and to ask me follow-up questions. And I think tease the topic out in a way that's not possible when it's a monologue. Now, I know that some people hate change and some of you are going to complain because you like the current format. Well, I really believe it's necessary that when you go to the next level, that sometimes you just have to reinvent what you're doing. And this is a case where I'm going to do that. And I'll tell you why I'm doing that. It's challenging to do a monologue. It's difficult on me. I don't enjoy it as much as I enjoy just conversations. And honestly, as successful as the podcast is, and we've had millions of downloads, and often, usually, in fact, the podcast is in the top 10 of the iTunes business category. But as successful as it is, I'm not really enjoying it as much as I know I would if I were doing this more as a conversation. So that's what we're going to move into. And I'm going to be revealing more of this to you as we move into it. I'm super excited about the co-host that I'm going to be using. We've got some other things planned that are going to be very out of the box, but my goal is to keep moving this podcast up in terms of its visibility and reach more and more people because I want to have a greater and greater impact. So I'll tell you even a little bit more next week, and I'll tell you, reveal it all over the next couple of weeks, but my plan is that in episode 101, we'll be fully into the new format. And I think you're going to love it. It's going to be a little bit different, but I think that you're going to love it. So I really hope you'll come with me on this journey and just be open-minded to what you could learn and how it could be even better than it is now. So more about that later. Now, let me give you one final tip. I get some of my best ideas when I'm away from my computer. I mean, big surprise. You probably do too. For example, when I'm driving my car or I'm out for a run. The problem is that I haven't had a good mechanism for capturing those ideas until now. Well, last week, I discovered a really cool way to capture an audio, not on my computer, but on my iPhone, and then automatically saving it to Evernote. And it's a small iPhone app called SoundEver. SoundEver. You click on the app, and it immediately begins recording your voice. And when you're done, and this is the cool thing, you click on a big red stop button, and then the program automatically saves the audio file to Evernote. You can even specify the default notebook and the tags. And it's super simple to use. I found myself capturing all kinds of notes, you know, podcast ideas, blog post ideas, business ideas. I've captured all kinds of notes that I would have missed entirely previously or been dependent on my memory when I got back to my computer to capture. And it's only $1.99. So check it out. SoundEver, there's a link in the show notes. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please show the love by going to michaelhyatt.com/love and tweeting a link to the show. I'd be so grateful. That would help us get the word out. And I'm also very grateful for those of you who have rated the podcast on iTunes. That also helps keeping the visibility of the program up. If you'd like to rate the show, I'd be very grateful. You can do that at michaelhyatt.com/iTunes. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count.